Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, December 6th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a recount in a state Senate race continues today. And what will Donald Trump mean for farm policy? Hundreds of job cuts are in the works at General Mills, but it's not clear how many may come in Minnesota. Martin Moylan has more.
The company says it will eliminate 400 to 600 jobs, or up to 1.5% of the company's global workforce. Cuts will come in the U.S. and overseas. The food maker said there will be cuts in Minnesota, but it does not have a, quote, specific number for how many employees will be affected. General Mills has some 5,000 workers in the state. The company says it's implementing a new organizational structure aimed at fostering growth and efficiency. The firm says it also plans to improve its revenue growth and e-commerce and marketing efforts. Martin Moylan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A recount of votes in a pivotal state Senate race got underway yesterday in Benton and Sherburne counties, with Stearns County on tap today. The recount will determine whether Republican Jerry Ralph's 148-vote victory over DFLer Dan Wolgamott stands up. More importantly, it will dictate which party has a 34-33-seat Senate majority entering next year's legislative session. Brian Baxter reports.
A lot of eyes are on this very tedious process playing out at four folding tables inside a government center in Elk River. One at a time, ballots are displayed to representatives for Ralph and Wolgamott and put into piles for each candidate, unless one side decides to object.
This is a vote for Jerry Ralph.
Okay. You're going to call it a vote for Jerry Ralph, then we're going to
You're going to challenge it.
We're going to challenge it as a vote for Wolgamott, or in the alternative, it's a identifying mark, which would void the ballot.
A similar challenge was lodged by Ralph's team. Earlier in the day, only one ballot was challenged in Benton County. And that's important because Wolgamott has considerable ground to make up if he's going to win the St. Cloud area seat and if his DFL party is going to keep one of the two legislative chambers. The flip in power was somewhat unexpected. That's because Democrats had a decent cushion heading into the election. And Democrats typically perform better in presidential years when turnout is high. Most around the Capitol are proceeding as if Ralph's win and the new GOP majority will hold up. But they also realize how slim the balance of power is. Senator Warren Limmer of Maple Grove has some advice for his fellow Republican senators. They're only one heartbeat away from losing that majority.
I've already talked to our members and saying, if you have a bad cough, if you have a heart condition, if you have a habit of drinking and driving, check it at the door. Because we have to be better than that. With only a one-vote margin.
Senator Bach of Cook is the majority leader now, but will soon be the DFL's minority leader this time next month. He says it will be up to Republicans to get legislation passed.
I often say when you're in the minority, you never have to take a bad vote. You know, it's the majority's job to govern. The public decided to put the Republicans in charge of the state Senate. And, you know, they were very critical over the course of the campaign about our health insurance marketplace in Minnesota. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how they now make the pivot. It's much easier to campaign than it is to govern.
Back at the recount site, neither Ralph nor Wolgamott came by personally to watch. And about 3,500 ballots were examined in under 2 hours. The vote count didn't change at all today, pending challenges that will be sorted out by the state canvassing board next week. Tomorrow is sure to be longer, with more than 31,000 ballots to get through. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News, Elk River.
Farm exports are one of the few bright spots for the mostly struggling farm sector. Grain and livestock sales overseas are so good they've almost single-handedly raised the price of commodities, including soybeans. But President-elect Donald Trump's railing against trade has farmers wondering what's ahead. Mark Stile has the story.
Asia is the hot market for U.S. soybeans, especially China. Western Minnesota farmers have a good pipeline to that market because of rail connections to Pacific Northwest ports. And grain elevators in that region have been busy this year, loading soybean trains for overseas markets. At the CHS terminal in Ruthton in southwest Minnesota, grain manager Joel Wearing is watching a crew load soybeans onto a Burlington Northern Santa Fe train.
We're putting 3,700 bushels of beans on this car, and we're loading it anywhere from 3 to 4 minutes.
When fully loaded, the more than a mile-long train will transport over $4 million worth of soybeans to the West Coast. Waring says about 60% of the soybeans moving through the Roofton elevator this year will likely end up overseas. That's about $30 million worth.
Very huge. Without access to the export market, we'd be in some trouble.
And so would farmers. The U.S. is the world's largest soybean exporter. Minnesota is a major part of the trade. It's the nation's third leading soybean exporting state. Minnesota's agricultural economy earns more than $2 billion a year from soybeans and associated products like meal and oil sent overseas.
Our exports of soybeans are just incredible.
Ed Usset is a University of Minnesota grain marketing economist.
We export close to half our soybeans we grow.
Overseas demand has helped keep soybean prices from falling even more during a mostly down time in agricultural markets. Farm income is projected to fall more than 17% this year. Many farmers will struggle to show a profit. Soybeans are below break-even for most farmers, but prices probably would be a lot worse minus the robust exports. Still, rural Minnesota voted resoundingly for Trump, even though the candidate hammered trade deals as a centerpiece of his campaign. Now, Minnesota farmers like Brad Nelson are waiting to see what the Trump administration actually does.
It's an unknown factor right now because you don't know what anybody's going to do at any given time.
The 58-year-old lives near Albert Lea in southern Minnesota, and he voted for Trump in the presidential election. He says he found himself agreeing with the real estate mogul on many issues, like cutting the number of government agricultural regulations and reducing health care costs. But Trump also threatened sharply higher tariffs on Chinese products.
China is ripping us off like nobody has ever seen.
But if Trump really goes after China, the likely retaliation could hurt U.S. farmers. That possibility is not lost on farmer Brad Nelson.
Our exports to China obviously have exploded the last 10 or 15 years. We have good exports of grain and soybeans to Mexico, and, you know, we need to keep things like that happening.
But Nelson is optimistic, mostly based on comments from a key Trump advisor in September. Appearing on the radio program AgriTalk, campaign co-chair Sam Clovis said a President Trump would only change failed trade policies. With farm exports booming, Clovis said there was probably little need for adjustments in the agricultural sector.
If it's beneficial to ag, then we're going to keep it beneficial to ag.
The question is what the administration would do if U.S. farmers wind up being punished by a nation angry over U.S. tariffs on, say, power tools. Farmers with long memories can recall the last time agricultural products got tangled up in world politics. That was in 1980 when President Jimmy Carter halted grain sales to the Soviet Union in retaliation for its invasion of Afghanistan.
I am determined to minimize any adverse impact on the American farmer from this action.
Despite that presidential pledge, the nation's largest agricultural group, the Farm Bureau, said the embargo cost farmers $1 billion and permanently disrupted the grain trade. Farmers hope the Trump administration avoids a repeat. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Worthington.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.